So as we said this morning, the theme for our retreat is the Satipatthana Sutta. And this morning, Pam spoke about and guided and us in instructions on some aspects of mindfulness of the body. That's one of the four foundations of mindfulness, or four establishments of mindfulness that are talked about in the Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana basically is that's the Pali language, and sati means mindfulness, and the patthana part basically means something like standing with, or sometimes foundation, something like that. I happen to like Bhikkhu Nalia's translation of establishing mindfulness, because foundation sounds like a thing that we can like land on and like just something solid. And establishing mindfulness with experience sounds more like a process. And that is my experience of what mindfulness is. It's a process of connecting with experience. And the sutta talks about various areas of experience that we connect with that essentially cover the entirety of our experience. So this afternoon, I'm going to talk a little bit about, just in an overview, a little bit about the sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, the four establishments of mindfulness, and then go a little bit more into the body section of that sutta. So the sutta begins with a definition of what it means to be mindful in a skillful way. How do we observe experience? The Buddha asks. He says we should observe experience in a particular way. There's a particular sentence he uses to describe for each of these four areas, each of these four aspects of experience: the body, mindfulness of feelings, whether experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, mindfulness of mental states, what's happening in our mind. And then the fourth foundation, a little bit harder to describe concisely what it is, but we could say it's looking at experience through some of the perspective of the Dharma. All experience can be understood, experience arising as experience can be understood in terms of the perspectives that the Dharma offers. And some of those perspectives have to do with how the various functions in our minds and hearts, how the various processes that make up this mind and body system, how those various processes relate to each other. So that fourth foundation is looking at that area. But the succinct definition that the Buddha offers for each of these four areas, he says, we should abide, observing the body as a body, feelings as feelings, mind states as mind states, and experience as experience, ardent, fully aware, mindful, having set aside greed and distress for the world. So this single sentence, repeated four times, one for each of the four foundations, includes a lot, actually. It's a pretty succinct and clear exploration of not only what we attend to and experience, but how to attend to it. The first word, abides, to me that just evokes the whole like container of relaxation. Abide with experience, not dive into it, not dig into it. Abide, live with, be with, the phrase Pam used this morning. Abide, observing, connecting with, being with. Abide, observing the body as a body. Now that little part of the definition also I find very interesting, because it really points to, in a very clear and simple way, what the perspective of wise mindfulness is, the perspective that this whole sutta is pointing us to, the perspective of noticing experience in the present moment. This is all, of course, experience in the present moment, the only place we can know experience. Experience as experience arising in the present moment. We know the body as a body. We know feelings as feelings. Simple kind of connection to experience, just knowing experience in and of itself. This perspective sounds like, you know, it just sounds like nothing sometimes, you know, just like, well, the body is a body, okay. But if we really explore what that means in our present moment experience, it's a very different perspective than we usually bring to our connection with experience. Usually our relationship with knowing experience is something about, how does it relate to me? What can I get out of it? Not just simply, this is experience. This is the experience that's arising right now. We have some relationship to it that's usually connected either to greed of wanting something to be a certain way, or of aversion, wanting to get rid of something, or of confusion, not knowing how to relate to it, or of relating to it from particular views and beliefs and ideas, as opposed to just simply understanding, this is what's arising right now. That's the perspective of mindfulness. And so we abide observing the body as a body, ardent with some engagement, a connectivity, a sense of heartfulness in the connection to the experience. With some kind of persistence, ardency also pulling in that kind of connecting, being present with some engagement. Fully aware, that piece also pulls in a whole host of understanding. The suttas describe a kind of a definition of what it means to be fully aware, is that we understand the arising and passing nature of experience. That we are with experience kind of more continuously and seeing that it is arising and passing. So again, this brings in a kind of a wisdom perspective of understanding. We notice the body as a body in its nature of arising and passing away. The sensations come and go. Nothing in our experience lasts for very long. Feelings come and go. Mind states come and go. One abides observing the body as a body, ardent, fully aware, mindful, setting aside greed and distress for the world. So this is again pointing to the perspective of not that we, you know, repress greed and distress, but that we don't have the familiar relationship to it of following it. Perhaps we can recognize when that's arising, or perhaps at times we can just simply say, yes, I'm just not gonna attend to that greed and distress right now. I'm going to attend to experience as experience. This sentence that I've just expressed here in just a few minutes, it could be unpacked much more thoroughly. Each word could be unpacked, and we could explore in more depth what each of those words means. But just for now, given the brief description I gave, if you connect with your bodily experience right now, and explore what it might mean to abide. If observing whatever bodily experience, just as bodily experience. Sensations, bodily sensations. A breath, a pressure, a tingling, a coolness. Abide, observing the body as a body, bodily experience as simply bodily experience. Connecting, engaged, persistent, to stay present with, ardent, fully aware of your experience, and mindful. Another aspect of the Satipatthana Sutta, with each of these four areas of experience, the body, feeling tone, mind states, and experience in general. Each section of the Satipatthana Sutta has different exercises or different pointings to how we can explore that particular aspect of experience. The section on the body, for instance, has six different ways in to exploring bodily experience. With each one of those exercises all the way throughout the sutta, the Buddha follows that exercise with what one scholar monk, Bhikkhu Anālayo, calls the refrain. Like in a song, a refrain in the song repeats. You get to know the refrain as it repeats each time. So the Buddha repeats this encouragement for us to be curious about our experience in a way that supports insight and understanding. Two aspects I'll highlight from that refrain. He encourages us to be aware of our bodily experience internally, which is what we normally mean or think we mean when we're talking about being mindful of the body. We think about being mindful of this body. But the Buddha encourages us to be mindful of the body internally and externally. There's not a clear definition of what that actually means, but the commentaries say what it means is being aware of others. Being aware of the bodies of others. And so an encouragement to recognize not only our own experience in the present moment, but the experience of others in the present moment. We do this primarily through our senses. You know, we see, we hear what others are doing. We make inferences about what others are doing. And part of the exploration here is not to land in the inferences, but to really recognize, oh yes, this is what is happening externally. I explored this kind of. It just happened on one retreat. I was sitting outside and a cat was walking by, and I began just noticing the cat's movements as just bodily movements. My mind was doing a lot of noting practice at that point. The practice was a lot of knowing. So when I was walking, for instance, I was going lifting, moving, placing, stepping. And what I found myself doing as I observed this cat was something like stepping, stopping, shaking, itching, just watching that being, its process of movement unfold. This may sound like something that would create a distance between us and others, but it actually does just the opposite. What our minds usually do around other people creates a distance. We create a separation. I and us and them, me and them. Because we usually see people through our ideas about them, our concepts about them. The Buddha is encouraging us to notice this being as a being, the way we're encouraged to notice our being as a being, a body as a body. And so it actually, at least in my experience as I've explored this, it kind of seems to strip away or pull away some of the ideas and views and concepts that we carry about people that supports us to actually just notice them as other beings. And can actually open our hearts. And so this is one I find on these online retreats. This is a beautiful contemplation to hold while you're out doing your walks in the neighborhood, or if you have to go to a grocery store or to an appointment, or if you're living with family. Just seeing if you can explore remembering this part of the Satipatthana instructions. Explore noticing the body internally and externally. Another aspect of the refrain points to noticing the impermanent nature of experience, being aware that experience is arising and passing away. This is something we can kind of orient to recognize. We can choose to kind of, in our day, be aware of the changing nature of experience throughout the day. Just kind of attuning to that aspect of experience. How when you're chopping vegetables, the vegetable changes its form from being whole to being in pieces. How it transforms when it gets cooked or eaten. We can contemplate impermanence in this way, just kind of orienting our mind that way, noticing the change of light and shadow in the day. And then more kind of close in, noticing how nothing that we experience lasts for very long. So these two pieces, the internal, external, and the impermanence, are both pointing us towards a way of observing experience that helps to undermine the ways that we habitually cling to experience, resist experience, ways we habitually try to control experience to be what we want it to be. So these the exploration of impermanence helps the mind to understand that there's nothing worth clinging to. Nothing lasts for very long. And I think the internal and external helps to undermine our so thorough usual perspective of experience from in here, from inside our own system. Kind of like almost begin to kind of recognize, you know, what's happening out there. This can get really, you know, particularly interesting around mind states. Not that we know really what's happening in mind states, but we have ways that we infer that. When we see somebody frustrated or confused, Can we know that? Oh, there's frustration happening there. You know, as we see in our own experience what it's like to navigate being present with our own experience, we begin to appreciate how hard it is to be a human being and how little, like, you know, control we might have over the arising of some of these mind states. And in exploring that, oh yeah, there's frustration arising here internally. There's frustration arising externally. It's just frustration arising. It kind of can help to separate that or to reduce that barrier, that boundary of us and them, in terms of just understanding the process nature of experience. So this is the larger framework of the Satipatthana Sutta. The sentence of describing how to attend to experience and this encouragement to attend in a particular way, internally, externally, with an attunement around impermanence. The foundation of the body is an excellent place really to ground the attention, it to connect with experience. It's kind of one of the more obvious areas of our experience. And so it's a place where we can begin. And perhaps that's why it's the first of the four establishments of mindfulness, the first area the Buddha points us to familiarize ourselves with. The other, the next two aspects of the Satipatthana Sutta, feeling, tone, and mind states, turn towards observing what's happening in the mind, which is a subtler kind of phenomenon. The fourth foundation actually includes instructions on both body and mind. But these first three, the first one, observing the body, getting familiar with bodily experience, and the next two, feeling tone and mind states, are pointers to particular aspects of mental experience. And I think this is an interesting thing to begin to recognize. The Buddha is basically talking about different processes at work in this being. And if we begin to get familiar with what the experience of the bodily process is, we start to begin to kind of tease apart and understand that there are differences between bodily processes and mental processes. These two get kind of conflated. They kind of intertwine. You know, something happens in our body, a feeling, a strong pressure, or a twisting or a burning sensation. That is experienced as unpleasant, a mental experience of it as unpleasant, and then there's often reactions to it, the aversion, wanting to fix it or control it. Understanding these as different parts of experience and being aware of them as experience helps the mind to kind of tease apart the experience, in particular around body, tease apart the bodily experience from the mental reactivity to it. This is huge. This really helps us in navigating our lives with less reactivity. We begin to see that that mental activity, that aversion, that greed, that frustration, that anger, that confusion, that mental activity is constructed, conditioned, and optional. It may not seem optional, but because it is conditioned, it's not directly the same thing. Like, for instance, the pain that you experience, the physical pain you might experience in some part of your body, is a different thing than the aversion to it. And as we start to tease those apart, we begin to recognize, oh, there can be pain in the body, and the mind does not have to hate it. The mind doesn't have to be angry about it or frustrated or confused about it. And that begins to give us a taste of a whole different way of relating to experience. That simple experience of noticing that physical pain can, you know, physical unpleasant sensation can arise and not be reacted to with our usual habits. That opens the mind to a whole different approach to relating to experience with compassion, with care, with love, with wisdom, instead of with our habitual greed, aversion, and delusion. So in the foundation of the body, there are 6 exercises. The breath, the mindfulness of breathing, which Pam explored this morning in our guided meditation. There's posture, aware, just simple of knowing that you're sitting while you're sitting. Knowing that you're standing while you're standing, walking, lying down, just aware of the posture. Actually, many of the instructions in the body point to a simplification of orienting to being aware of the body in a way. With the mindfulness of breathing, you know, there's in that section of being aware of the breath. It starts with just, breathing in. Know that you're breathing in. Know whether you're breathing in is a long breath or a short breath. Just know that. You don't have to know a lot of little details about it to begin. Just breathing in, knowing that you're breathing in. Breathing out, knowing that you're breathing out. Being curious about where and how you know that. Pam pointed to kind of, how do you know you're breathing? You know, what's the sensations that let you know you're breathing? And just, sometimes it might not be so clear what that is, but we can know that we're breathing in. We can know that we're breathing out. And then it points us to a kind of a stepping back, a kind of a relaxing and at least in my experience, it helps to relax as we explore breathing while experiencing the whole body. Maybe you can try that right now, being aware, just knowing that you're breathing. Just that simple knowing that you're breathing. And see if while that's happening, you can relax and kind of just take in the whole field of the body while you know the breathing. Tanisaro Bhikkhu offers an analogy that I find really useful in exploring this particular piece. He says that if we're in a room that has a candle in the middle of the room, we can look right at the candle, know something about the candle and the flame. Or we can notice that the light from the candle lights up the whole room. That's kind of what this encouragement is around, being aware of the whole body while breathing. You don't have to look right at the breath there. But while you're breathing, let that breath light up the whole of the bodily experience. In my experience, a very relaxed approach is helpful here. It's not something we're looking at directly. It's more like it comes to us, that receptive quality. Breathing in, experiencing the whole body. Breathing out, experiencing the whole body. Relaxing. Maybe it's not that you experience the whole body, but kind of a piece of the body. That's okay. Maybe you're experiencing the chest and the torso. The fourth aspect of attending to the breath that's in the section of the body is that we train to calm the breathing, calm the body. And so exploring perhaps a way to breathe that feels comfortable, feels easeful. When I practiced an extended period of breath meditation with Thanissaro Bhikkhu, he encouraged me to play with the breath a little bit. What makes it feel comfortable? Maybe breathe a little longer, a little shorter. Maybe a long breath is more comfortable right now. Exploring, experimenting with that. I would play with that for a little while, but after a little while, the effort to do that exploration may get a little bit tiring. And so then just another way into it is just kind of like to ask or request. So, you know, okay, mind and body, can you show me how to breathe comfortably? Maybe, may the breath become comfortable. I would drop that like little request into my system and then just see how the system responded. And often there'd be some little loosening or kind of relaxing around some area that just made the breath a little more easeful, a little more comfortable. May the breathing become comfortable, easeful. May there be relaxation with the breathing. Another area of the body that I'd like to explore with you in a little more depth right now is what's called the elements. And Pam pointed to this in our guided meditation this morning too. The sutta uses language that wouldn't necessarily be that resonant for us. It says, in this body, there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. But even the commentaries, the old commentaries, point to what he's talking about there, what that's referring to. Noticing the earth element is noticing sensations that are connected with heaviness, weight, density, solidity. The fire element is noticing experience connected with heat and coolness. The water element is noticing sensations connected with moisture and dryness. And the air element is noticing sensations connected with movement. And that includes a whole range of sensations like vibration, pulsing, tingling, as well as physical movement that happens like with the breath. In this body, there are these elemental sensations. This is, in a way, you know, pointing down to use the language of the sutta, a more elemental experience of the body, closer to just what is actually going on in the body. We typically relate to our bodies through concept. We think, you know, we're experiencing our hand or our shoulder or our knee. But what is the experience of hand? Letting your attention, perhaps right now, come into that place that we call hand. And what sensations are there? Maybe there's some vibration, pulsing, tingling, those three air element sensations. Maybe there's a sense of moisture, of stickiness maybe on the hand, that's water element. Or maybe there's dryness, the absence of water element. Maybe there's a temperature quality, a warmth or a coolness, or a sense of solidity and structure of the hand. We could say in a way that this exploration of this elemental experience is kind of like exploring how the body communicates with us. The language of the body. The body speaks in these sensation level experiences, and then we put it together in our minds and create a hand out of it. But the body is speaking to us at this level, this elemental level of experience. I'm going to go through these four in a little bit of almost a guided practice for you right now. Just taking in this body sitting here. The earth element. The aspects of the body that are solid. Sensations like solidity. The weight of yourself, perhaps a hardness of where the body is pressing against the chair or couch or cushion. Maybe a sense in the uprightness of the body, or if you're prone, you know, just in the posture that you're in, something of the structure of the bones, the solidity of the bones. Sometimes I've heard teachers use this phrase that evokes something, maybe. This body is earth sitting on earth. May touch into that quality of the solidity of this form in this place. And then the air element. Maybe in this experience of the body, shifting to explore a different terrain of experience, maybe there's some place in the body where there's a sense of tingling or pulsing or vibration. Maybe this sense of movement as the breath comes in and goes out of the body, the expansion and contraction of the chest. The sense perhaps of pulses of pressure in the nostrils and back of the throat. As the breath comes in, this is air element. Fire element, the temperature. Sometimes it's easier to feel this if you take your hand and put it on your cheek. Often there's a slight temperature differential between your hands and your face. It might highlight the sensation of temperature there. For me, the face is warm and the fingers are cool. And then the water element, moisture, stickiness, dryness, slipperiness. One place to touch into this is if running your tongue across the back of your teeth, the slipperiness there, that's water element. That water element is often said to be harder to see directly. It kind of shows up in dependence on the others. And so running your tongue across the surface of your teeth, you may notice that there's hardness of the tooth as you move the tongue across it. And so there's the hardness, the earth element there. There's the movement of the tongue, the air element there, revealing the slipperiness, the water element. So learning this language of the body, kind of, as I spoke about earlier, in the beginning to distinguish what the bodily experience is, helps us to differentiate between what body experiences and what mind experiences. This elemental nature of experience helps us to recognize that the sensation level of experience is different than our identification of parts of the body, different from ideas and views that we have about our body, different from the experience of whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, actually. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. And so this begins to help us to tease apart the sensation level experience from the concept and belief view about experience. And that's helpful because in the realm of concept, belief, view, relationship to experience, this is where suffering arises. And yet we kind of mix them up. We blame the body for the pain, as opposed to recognizing that it's the mind's relationship to that pain where the real struggle is. So we learn this language of the body, how the body communicates with us and provides us with information. This section of the body includes other areas that we won't go into so much right now, the posture and daily activities. Just a simple kind of recognition of knowing that you're walking when you're walking, standing when you're standing. In daily activities, the sutta encourages us to be aware when we're talking, when we're silent, when we're coming and going, when we're extending and bending our arms and legs. Really just pointing to some very simple aspects of our bodily movement to know it's happening while it's happening. And then there's a couple of others that we probably won't go into so much on this retreat. They're more reflective practices, encouraging us to reflect that our body is composed of various parts: head hairs, body hairs, skin, nails, teeth. And just kind of envisioning. One teacher taught me to envision like as if my hair were sitting on a platter in front of me and then my teeth sitting on a platter in front of me. But just to kind of deconstruct our body in that way. It's an imagination exercise. It's a kind of a reflective practice that helps us to disidentify with our bodies. It's not about having a negative experience of our body, but kind of just noticing this is what a body is. And then the sixth exercise is contemplation around our death, remembering that we will die, that our bodies will decay. And again, this is a reflective practice. It's kind of a bringing the images or the possibility, reminding ourselves that this is true. This is actually a powerful reflection to bring to mind each day. And the Buddha encourages us to reflect daily that we're of a nature to age, to sicken, to die. We're of the nature for all things to be separated from us. Essentially reflecting regularly on the impermanent nature of our experience, because it helps us to see that so much of our mode of living in the world is trying to hold on to and cling to things that just are not reliable places for lasting happiness. The impermanent nature of experience, it's not a reliable place to land for happiness. And then the last piece I'll offer before opening it up, if there's any questions. There weren't any submitted in advance, which is why I decided to talk for a little bit longer. Is about continuity, maintaining a kind of a sense of the interest in our experience, and in this case, in the bodily experience, moment after moment. This is encouraged in many places, but you know, the postures and the daily activities sections are really pointing to this. It's like, it's not just about being aware when we're sitting silently with our eyes closed, but being aware while we're walking, while we're standing, while we're talking, remaining silent, while we're reaching for a vegetable, while we're closing a drawer, while we're opening the refrigerator. Simple, just awareness. It doesn't have to be like pushing the mind into experience and trying to see things in detail. Just being with ourselves while we go about our day. Be with ourselves while we brush our teeth and make our beds and put on our clothes, and be with ourselves while we take a walk. This continuity supports a stability of the mindfulness, which is essentially what concentration is. And mindfulness stabilizes moment after moment. This is a form of concentration. There's different forms of concentration. When we focus that stabilizing of mindfulness on one particular experience like the breath, that becomes what we usually call concentration, a very focused kind of attention. But the stability of mindfulness just on experience, just on being with yourself while you're opening the refrigerator and pulling out some food, that continuity supports a stability of mindfulness, which is a form of concentration called moment-to-moment concentration. Concentration of experience one moment after another. That moment-to-moment concentration creates the conditions for us to be less judgmental, non-reactive about what's happening. In part because it's like, well, this is what's happening now. And instead of launching into some kind of, you know, argument with ourselves about this thing that's happening, or a frustration about that it did happen, or a holding on to it because we like it so much, the next moment something else is happening and we know that. And then the next moment there's something else. Just this continual, oh, this is what's happening now. Oh, there's vibration, and coolness, and relaxation, seeing, feeling of happiness, just moment after moment. Being with yourself supports this mindfulness to become a powerful factor of awakening, supporting us to wake up to what's actually happening moment to moment in our experience. Seeing the conditioned nature of experience. Noticing how practice unfolds, how experience unfolds, that certain experiences tend to have our minds get wrapped up into struggle, and other modes, you know, when greed is arising in the mind and aversion is arising in the mind tends to get wrapped up in that, wanting to hold on to something. And there's other experiences when curiosity, interest, kindness are arising with mindfulness. Whole different experience takes place. Even if there's that pain in the knee, it's just a different relationship to experience.